You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. It's titled, My Two Dads. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Dad, we'll only tell you what we know you can handle.
How would that make you feel?
That's what my daughter Elizabeth told me some years ago. At first, it stunned me. As I reflected on that a little longer, I next felt scared. Elizabeth was off at college, and she could be getting herself into tremendous problems. She could be jeopardizing her physical life, her emotional life, her spiritual life, and all because, in her teenage longing for independence, she wouldn't confide in Mom and Dad. So I say, I was stunned, then scared. However, the reaction that I felt the most was freedom! That's right, freedom! Dad, we'll only tell you what we know you can handle, taught me that young people have to live their own lives. We cannot live their lives for them. In fact, they're going to live their own lives anyway, whatever parents say or think. So we just have to deal with that. While there is much that parents can and should do to foster the proper development of their children, wise parents will ultimately commend their children to the care of a loving Heavenly Father. That's what my message today is about. Commending your children to the Father who is in heaven. Please join me in prayer. O God, you have entrusted to us the care of your children. Help parents to be teachers of the faith and examples of godliness to these your children. May we entrust them every day to your fatherly care. We earnestly pray that our children will not be led into temptation, but that they will be delivered from every evil of body and soul. And we pray that when their last hour comes, even as we pray for ourselves, that they will be graciously taken into the eternal joys of heaven through the merits of Jesus Christ, our only Savior. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, All of us must appear in front of Christ's judgment seat. Then all people will receive what they deserve for the good or evil they have done while living in their bodies. All of us, the Bible says. That means that you young people are going to stand before Jesus and tell him what you've done with your lives. Oh, Jesus, I messed up because of my parents. My parents just didn't understand me. Maybe your mom and dad didn't understand you. Maybe their shortcomings got you all bent out of shape. Young people, your parents have to answer to God for their mistakes. But that does not exempt you from judgment. Young people, you must appear before God's judgment. And the Bible says you will receive what you deserve for the good or evil you have done. And yes, as I said, we parents will be judged for the lives we have led. That includes how well or how poorly we have fulfilled our responsibilities as moms and dads. While we cannot live our children's lives for them, God has given us responsibilities for our children. We are to see to their physical, emotional, and spiritual nurture. We too must appear before the judgment seat of God to receive what we deserve for our parenting. That leads to our need for Jesus. Dad, we'll only tell you what we know you can handle. Remember how that shocked and then scared me when I first heard it? My children have done things that I'd rather not know about. Wrong things. Sinful things. We parents have done much that is wrong. Sinful. While it's not unusual for children to hold their parents' failures against them, the fact is that we are all in this together. No parent and no child can come confidently to the judgment of God on the basis of what they have done. Psalm 143 says, O Lord, do not take me to judgment, because there is no one alive who is righteous in your presence. Yes, adults and young people, we all need Jesus. What Jesus did was to win forgiveness for our sins and give us a fresh start for the future. God understands the situation in your family, whether you think He does or not. He knows everything. So He sent His Son Jesus to deal with the sins of parents, of children, of us all. On the cross, Jesus suffered the punishment for your sins. That means that the sins of your past are forgiven. Because of that, you and your family now have a fresh start toward the future. Just as God restored Jesus' life on Easter, God gives you great hope for your future. Sure, we worry about one another, and parents especially fret over their children. What kind of trouble will they get into? That's an almost constant thought of caring parents. But when you realize that each one of us is accountable for our own life, and then when you hear this good news that God forgives the past and gives great hope for the future, then you are led to see how much you and your family really do need Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven. In this series of messages, I've been speaking about the great benefits of the Lord's Prayer for guiding us in life. It teaches us about relationships with others, especially about family relationships. One of the greatest qualities of the Lord's Prayer is its simplicity and its brevity. Instead of reading hundreds of pages to learn how to handle situations when they arise, the short and simple petitions of the Lord's Prayer will always give you guidance. Our Father who art in heaven. When you adults and children believe and live in the light of what Jesus has done, then your family can meet uncertainties with confident hope in a loving Heavenly Father. Yes, Elizabeth worried me when she said, "We'll only tell you what we know you can handle." But about 5 years ago, she said something else that has stuck with me, something very helpful, something very relevant to a parent's inevitable worries. We were speaking on the phone. She was at college, I at home. Elizabeth said, "Dad, I told the guys what you said about having two fathers. They thought that was pretty good." At first, I didn't have a clue what she was talking about. "What do you mean?" I asked. "Don't you remember?" Elizabeth said. "You told me that even if you couldn't always be with me, I had another father who is." Then I remembered. I had been worried about her for some reason or other. What it was, I haven't the faintest recollection. But in my concern, I did tell her that she really had two dads, an imperfect earthly dad and a perfect heavenly father. Hence the title of today's message, My Two Dads. Sometimes you are surprised to find out that you said the right thing, and I was pleasantly surprised to hear that my advice had been heard. As our children grow older, they see more and more that Dad and Mom are imperfect, that we are sinners. As that awareness grows in our children, we need to teach them more and more about their other Father, their unfailing, their perfect Father in heaven. They have two fathers, and the earthly one that they see, faults and all, should lead them to think of the one they don't see, their Father in heaven. This doesn't only apply to the children. Parents need to take it to heart also. The closer the children come to leaving the nest, and as they finally do move away from home, the more and more we must commend them to their loving Heavenly Father. "I can't live your life for you, Elizabeth, but I do pray and commend you to the Father who is far more able to guard and help you than I am." You parents who are listening will, I hope, do the same. Sometimes that's the only hope you have. You need to hear the dramatic story of Lowell and Lisa Lundstrom. I'll never forget the nightmare phone call that shattered my world, Lowell Lundstrom wrote in New Man magazine. Reverend Lundstrom, the officer said, I'd like to meet with you at the police station. Your 17-year-old daughter is scheduled to appear in court for propositioning a vice officer. My hands were trembling as I put down the receiver, Reverend Lundstrom wrote. My whole body was numbed as I weaved my way through traffic toward the main precinct station. My daughter a prostitute? Impossible. But she was. Although she had been raised in a Christian home, something went terribly wrong. At the court appearance, Lisa was put in the custody of her parents, but she soon escaped. Lowell Lundstrom wrote, I had been certain that God would save Lisa within 3 to 6 months, but the years were rolling by with no change. 1 year, 2 years, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 long years. Two things are apropos. First, Lowell came to realize that he was not responsible for the life Lisa had chosen. He wrote, Even though I made mistakes as a father, I wasn't totally responsible for Lisa's actions. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:10? All of us must appear in front of Christ's judgment seat. Then all people will receive what they deserve for the good or evil they have done while living in their bodies. Second, Lowell learned that he had to entrust Lisa to the care of a loving Father in heaven. There was so much that Lowell could not do. He couldn't undo the mistakes of the past. He couldn't convince Lisa to change her lifestyle. He could not make things right. What he couldn't do, the Heavenly Father could. Although Lowell had always been a man of prayer, this earthly father really learned what it means to entrust his dear child to the Heavenly Father. That's the father who can really get things done. Ephesians 3:20 says, By this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And God did. Lowell writes, One day, while on tour in Canada, I received the happiest call of my life. It was Lisa. She wanted to come home. I dropped everything, rented a moving van and car trailer, and headed south on a 2,000-mile journey, nonstop. 40 hours later, Lisa was in my arms. We loaded her belongings into the truck and headed home. The terrible 9.5-year nightmare was over. My precious prodigal was back. God had not failed. Satan lost. Jesus was faithful. I was wiser. And Lisa was saved. Our Father who art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer can be prayed as an intercessory prayer. That means that you can pray it for another person. Many a time when I say Our Father, I pause and think of Diane and Elizabeth and Katie. In Jesus Christ, He has shown that He is their loving Father, just as He is mine. As I continue in the prayer, I pray that each of the petitions will be fulfilled in their lives. Thus I think, Dear Father, may Your name be kept holy by the lives Diane and the children lead. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done in their lives. And so on. This brief and simple prayer can be prayed for others. So, do you sometimes worry about your children? Of course you do. Then pray the final petitions, especially for them. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray that God will guard and keep young people from temptation. As Martin Luther says, We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us nor seduce us into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And though we be assailed by them, that still we may finally overcome and obtain the victory. Pray that God will deliver them, deliver us all from evil. To quote Luther again, we pray in this petition as the sum of all, that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor. And finally, when our last hour has come, grant us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this veil of tears to himself in heaven. Can you think of any better prayer for young people? Dear God, teach us to commend our children to you. Every time we say, Our Father who art in heaven, help us to realize the full import of this prayer. When we are tempted to worry about our children, teach us to be confident that you, their true Father, cares for them. When we feel powerless to act, teach us to invoke your power, a heavenly power that is far greater than all we can ask and think. Bless, guide, and govern today's young people, that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of your word. Grant that they may serve you well and usefully, developing their talents not for their own sakes, but for the glory of God and the welfare of their neighbor. Protect and defend them from all danger and harm, giving your holy angels charge over them. Lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.